Hey, I just want to say it's good to be together today, isn't it? Just to worship together. We have an old friend here today that I just want to let you know is here, so you be sure to say hi to her. Lynn Nelson is here. Lynn, you want to wave? Where are you? Lynn was so instrumental in our church for a number of years, and Lynn, I still hear about your ministry, so thanks for all you did. And now you live in North Carolina. So good to have you today. And I also want to remind you, there are a lot of new faces. So be sure after worship today when we're out on the patio to look for new people to welcome to worship. So we are now in the third sermon in a series of sermons on the Lord's Prayer. And remember, Jesus teaches us how to pray because the disciples asked him, Lord, teach us how to pray. And I don't know about you, but I often feel that way. I remember hearing a sermon once on prayer, and the pastor said, you know, everyone's an amateur when it comes to prayer. And I don't know about you, but I always feel that way. I'm not sure what to do. It's a kind of a foreign exercise to do. And so I think we always feel like amateurs. But here's what I would say. You can't really ruin prayer. You can't really goof it up. All you got to do is be honest with God about what you're feeling, what you need, about thanking God. It's just regular conversation. You don't have to use highfalutin words that we learn in seminary. I always try not to use those words, actually, because I think it discourages people to pray because they feel like they need that. But that's not it. Just simple. These are very simple words. Did you notice that? And so our goal in this series is not just to have information about prayer, but to learn how to pray. And this is really a remarkable prayer. I've really enjoyed studying on this Lord's Prayer. It is so simple and yet so profound. And so the last few weeks, we've been dealing with some pretty lofty theological concepts, you know, like the nature of God and God's sovereignty and the will of God and the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. And now today, we move to a very earthy, very practical request. Give us today our daily bread. Pretty simple. So let's pray and then we'll jump in. God, we pray that you would speak to us today, that you would help us to tune out all the things we may be thinking about, that we may have to do this week or whatever it might be about an upcoming basketball game or whatever it is. Help us to tune it out and to listen to your voice, your still small voice this morning. Through your word to us and through the meditations of my heart. And we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Give us this day our daily bread. Well, first, let me read the whole prayer so far. This then is how you should pray, Jesus says. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. On earth, as it is in heaven, give us today our daily bread. Can't get much more basic, much more practical, nuts and bolts than that, right? From these very lofty ideas that we've been dealing with the last couple of weeks, in the first part of the prayer, we come crashing down to this very practical petition about our basic needs in life. Now, over the years, really, ever since Jesus taught this prayer, people have been trying to say, well, Jesus didn't really mean our daily bread. Jesus really didn't mean things that we need to survive. And they've tried to make this prayer more spiritual. They've tried to spiritualize it. Augustine, St. Augustine, interpreted it this way. He said, we pray for the invisible bread of the Word of God. That sounds good. Others have said Jesus must certainly have been referring to what we're going to celebrate later in the service, the Lord's Supper and the breaking of bread. And others have postulated that Jesus meant was referring to when he said, I am the bread of life in John chapter 6. Well, I am going to be a little bold here today and disagree with Augustine and say, no, I don't think so. I think Jesus was just talking about our basic needs. He wasn't trying to spiritualize things. Our Lord is talking about bread, just good old bread. Actually, the translation of this is a little tricky. Probably the best translation is this. Lord, give me what it takes to survive. Give me what it takes to survive. Not very spiritual. Now, the tendency for us to spiritualize this, I think especially today, may come from our own situation in life as North Americans. When we pray the Lord's Prayer, it may be kind of easy for us to not pay a whole lot of attention to this petition in the Lord's Prayer, right? I mean, most of us here today, I think, have this need pretty much met, although within a couple miles of here, it's a real prayer. But for us, you know, it's kind of easy to just kind of skip this over because we may need more pressing things in this prayer, like the ability to forgive or to receive forgiveness or avoid temptation or trying to discern the will of God. But this is a very important petition because it grounds us in everyday things, everyday life. And one of the things I appreciate and love about the Christian life, Christian faith, is the fact that it is a very earthy religion. Many religions try to lift up, and I'm not putting down other religions, I'm just saying this is how Christianity is a little different. We think the physical realm is very important. Other religions say that the physical world is somehow bad or evil, and that's why some religions say sex is bad no matter what. Or the body is not as valuable as the mind and the spirit. Gnosticism, one of the greatest heresies of the early church, taught exactly this. The body didn't matter. You could do anything you wanted to do with your body. It was your mind and spirit that were far more important. And this same heresy tried to deny that Christ really was a human. Because why in the world would God want to become a human and take on flesh and blood? God couldn't become a man. This was beneath God, so it was thought, and so they said Jesus was just a spirit. But folks, this is heresy, and there's still forms of it today. Christianity, and this is what I like about it, it affirms the goodness of the material world. Did you know that? Christianity affirms that God is the creator, that God created all there is, remember? In Genesis, and when God created the world, what did he say? Oh, the material realm, it was good. And when he created us, what did God say? It was very good. So the physical is good, it's important, it is affirmed. It is important that our material needs, our physical needs, are met, as well as our spiritual needs, which are important. So what exactly is Jesus inviting us to do in this particular petition? Here it is. If you don't hear anything else today, here it is. He is inviting us to pray about everyday, ordinary needs we have in life. This is an invitation to pray for the needs that you have in your life every day. This gives us guidelines as to what we should ask for. To release our burdens to God, whatever burdens us, we should release to God. And it's not beneath God to care about the little things of our lives, the things we need. Certainly, we pray for bread if we need bread. But since bread usually doesn't fall from the sky, and the best thing for our self-esteem is to work, if we need a job, we pray for a job. And since we usually need some sort of transportation to get to that job, it's okay to pray for a car. And since the creation of jobs is often tied to economic policies and trends in the marketplace, we can pray about elections and justice and economic policies and the like. We can also pray about other needs we have for survival. You know, remember, the essential things, what I need to survive, God. We can pray for well-being, our health. We are created to have deep relationships with other people. Those are important. We can pray for friends. We are created for love. Remember Maslow's basic hierarchy of needs? Wow, we need love to survive. We can pray for love. For God's love, that we would really experience God's love, for love of other people, for good friends. We should pray for these things. You see the picture? God cares about those needs, those things that we sometimes think are insignificant. And here's what I've heard people say this many, many times. I can't bother God with those needs when people are starving all over the world and there's war and, you know, all the rest. God doesn't have time for that stuff. Well, number one, that is an inaccurate view of who God is, right? I mean, we saw early on in this prayer, God created all there is. You know, I always say, if God created all there is, this world, and the intricacies of the human body, and it keeps everything in balance, I think God can take care of everything, don't you? You see, we try to reduce God to a smaller God than God really is. God can handle those things. Also implied in this statement is that somehow God doesn't care. And we know from just about every week sitting in the sanctuary that God cares about us. God's interested in us. We matter to God a great deal. So God is big enough, and God does care, and God does understand the basic needs of our lives. You know, that's one of the beauties of the incarnation. Just one of it's the genius of the incarnation, that Jesus came to earth. He understands what it's like to be hungry. He understands what it's like to be tired. He understands the need for friendship. He understands us. And so we can bring these things to God. So pray about them. Pray about the things you need to survive, no matter how small it might be. For example, in my opinion, a good mechanic is a real need. And when I moved from Burlingame to Chico, remember how, you know, when you move to a new place, some of you haven't moved in so long you don't remember this, but When you move to a new place, you got to find everything new, right? New dentist, new optometrist, new doctor, new everything. Part of that is a mechanic. It's one of the basic, I think one of the basic needs in life. Someone that you can trust, someone who will take care of your cars, especially when they're old cars like we always had. And they're breaking down all the time. So when I first arrived in Chico, I thought to myself, how am I ever going to replace my mechanic in San Mateo? A guy named Bo Johnson. We had a Volvo 240, remember those? Boxy and ugly. And Bo Johnson was Swedish. You know, Volvos are made in Sweden. And not just Sweden, I mean, he was like from central casting. He looked like Thor. Tall, blonde, Swedish accent, even wore clogs. Volvos were a source of national pride for him. And here's what was so funny. You better take care of that Volvo. So when I got to Chico, I thought, maybe I should just drive to the Bay Area. You know, when I need, I can see friends, and thought all these different things. Finally, I said, I got to get a mechanic in Chico. So I knew there was an area where there were a lot of car mechanics, and so I just drove around, and I said, now, some of you may think this is really silly, but I just said, God, I need a mechanic. Please guide me to a good mechanic. So I saw a bunch of cars around this one place, Volvos and Volkswagens. Our other car was a Volkswagen Westphalia, you know those camper vans? Loved it, wish I hadn't sold it. So I said, okay, I'm gonna go in there. So I went in, met the guy behind the desk who happened to be the owner, told him I had a Volvo, needed it repaired or a service, and he said, well, did you do this at 75,000 miles? And I said, well, if it was required, I did it because my mechanic in San Mateo would give me a stern lecture if I missed any service numbers. And he said, who was your mechanic in San Mateo? I said, Bo Johnson. He said, no way. Bo was my mentor for 11 years. I kid you not. He taught me everything I know about Volvos and how to run a shop. And I just thought, wow, God answered my prayer. But here's what's amazing about this story, even beyond that. I became a really good friend with this guy. Remember in Philippians, I talked about God being the great choreographer? How God can move different things in our lives around to help us? Well, this is an example of the great choreographer. Because not only was he a great mechanic, but, you know, our Volkswagen was always broken down, so I really got to know him. And we became good friends. And he was growing his business, I was growing a church, he ended up opening a VW dealership, and we became really good friends. And I think both of us had an influence on each other's lives. Now, why do I tell you that story? Because it's one of my favorite stories. But I tell you that because I think it's a great example of God being the great choreographer. And God caring about us. Now, I know some of you may be thinking, that's ridiculous. God didn't answer that prayer. And am I saying absolutely God led me to that mechanic? No. But could God do that? Absolutely. I think the point is, God cares about you and about all your needs. And when we invite God into our lives in that way and we pray about these things, you know what it does? It strengthens our relationship with God. He becomes like our companion. You know, I watched this week, I don't know if you know Savannah Guthrie. Well, you may not know her, but you know who she is, right? Host of the Today Show, NBC, a journalist, I think he used to be the White House correspondent. You know, she's a strong person of faith. In fact, I've been watching various worship services from across the country as we think about this second service that we're going to possibly create. And I was watching this one church I really liked in New York City, and then who comes up and leads the congregation in the prayer confession but Savannah Guthrie. Person of faith. And she just wrote a book. And I love when lay people write books because it really helps lay people to see how their faith can be real. And I just have to say, I watched a couple of interviews with her, and she has a real personal faith that has helped her through some really difficult times in life. And I can guarantee she takes this petition seriously. God, give us what it takes to survive. So this is a great invitation to bring your material, your basic needs to God. There is also a warning in this prayer, and that is this: don't let your prayers get too self-absorbed. And don't get so attached to material things that you forget the needs of others. We all know the temptation of material things. It can become an idol in our lives, and definitely is the idol, the false god of our culture. So it's interesting that Jesus didn't say, pray this, give me this day my daily bread. Jesus said, give us this day our daily bread. I think he said that on purpose. And I think this is why we pray not for needs and luxuries. We pray, you know, for cake. Or we don't pray for cake. We pray for bread. We don't pray for filet mignon. We pray for basic needs. And we also pray for others whose basic needs may not be met every day. You know, I was stunned when the pandemic first hit and we were scrambling on how to, you know, what are the implications of all this? And I remember sitting in on a meeting for Alameda County, and they talked about the numbers of kids who were going to go hungry because they weren't going to school to get free lunches and free meals. Staggering. Hundreds of thousands. So when I pray this prayer, I always try to think of others who may be struggling to have meals every day. And I think about, Lord, what are you calling me to do with all you have given me? And to care for those who may not have all their basic needs met. You know, I always think of this quote by Gandhi: there is enough for every man's needs, but not for every man's greed. And when we ask about why are people, you know, when we think about people who are praying this prayer and they don't have food, well, we're the answer. Those of us who have so much to make sure others have food as well. One last thing I want to say about this prayer. This is a prayer of humility. And at the beginning of this sermon today, I said prayer is an amateur event and that we really can't mess it up. Well, I lied. You can blow it. There's one essential quality of prayer that we must have, and that is humility. It's just basic. When we come to prayer, we're in a posture of humility, are we not? Admitting that we need something. And regardless of how affluent we may be, this petition is a great reminder that God gives all of us everything in life. This is a prayer of humble dependence and maybe also a prayer of gratitude. So every time we pray this petition, it's good to pray for our everyday basic needs, for God cares about them. And it's also good to allow this petition to be a reminder to be humble and to give thanks that we have daily bread. Amen. God, we thank you for this prayer, and we pray that you would continue to speak to us as we walk through it together. And Lord, may we trust that you care about us and you're big enough to be concerned about our daily needs. Basic things like love, friendship, bread, car mechanics, other things. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.